Right, here we go. So, it's April the 19th, 2011, and I'm Sally Goldsmith, and I'm with Chris. Is it Chris? Christine.
Chris of Christine, yes.
Christine Hibbard at her house, which is the Leylands in Moorwood Lane, which is just south of Totley, between Olabar and Holmesfield. And she's going to mainly talk to me about her memories of Gilfield Wood, mm-hmm. and the surrounding countryside. Mm-hmm. So do you just want to introduce yourself, Chris?
Yes. Yes, I like to be called Chris these days. I'm my official handle is Christine Hibbard. I was born as Christine Salt. Salt being a family that were very much part of Totley since the... just the turn of the century, I think. I grew up in Rowntree Dell in Totley, which backed onto fields and or one field and a bit, and then the next bit was Gilfield Wood, and beyond that the fields that come up to the Holmesfield parish. That was my playground.
Right, because that really does back on to... Mm. Well, what was it like at the back of your house when you were a kid?
Well, we were fortunate, you know, because it was at the end of the war and people were having houses built and they had to put the names down. And if they, you know, they got whichever one came up next. And we were very, very fortunate that we got one towards the top of Rowntree Dell, 36 it was, so it backed onto the fields. I think there was the adjacent one, and then the next ones were actually part of the cul-de-sac at the very top. So we were right at the top there. It had what was considered a very small garden, but was certainly bigger than a lot of modern houses have these days, and that went straight onto the field. Well, we were fortunate in a way in that the field behind was farmed by my my father's cousin.
Oh, who was that? What was his name?
Tom Salt. Son of Joe Salt. Joe Salt, who lived at Woodthorpe Farm, which is now derelict, I believe. But he farmed at Woodthorpe Farm. And so when he... you know, Tom would come and see to his cows and so on, and Father would have a conversation over the fence and say, you know, and talk about the fact that he'd got a little gate through. You don't mind, do you, Tom? You know, and so on. And I think that became the regular thing for most of the houses backing onto the fields on that area. But I think ours was probably the first, because we had... special permission, if you like.
Yes.
from his cousin.
Yes.
And I spent, as I say, it was my playground. And the early days, because what we moved there, I think it was 1951. I was born in 43 in Ashbourne. So I was very proud of the fact that I was a Derbyshire tup. And, you know, and that we were on the edge of Derbyshire, and that this field at the bottom, you know, there it was Derbyshire once you were over that stream, which appealed to me a lot, you know. what else did I... the other thing I remember, particularly sort of early days, was climbing trees in that field. There was a girl two doors away, next door but one. I think they probably moved in 2 or 3 years after us. That was probably one of the first houses to change hands. She was a little older than me, but because there was nobody else of the same age, all the houses seemed to belong to newly married people with very young children. And there was me at 8+, because, with nobody else to play with. I hadn't any brothers or sisters. So this girl next door but one, a couple of years older, and I used to go and climb trees down in that field behind us. But it was only later that I got as far as going into Gilfield Wood.
Actually into the wood. At that time, those fields behind there, were they much more open than they
Very
are
Very much
now?
More open than they are now.
Could
I was
you
quite
describe
horrified
them?
Last time I went. Well, literally, from behind our house at 36, there was nothing other than grass in the field, all the way down to the stream at the bottom of the field. Apart from a small collection of, I can't even remember what sort of trees they were now, but the ones that we climbed, which for quite young children to be climbing in, they obviously had quite low branches. They weren't tall trunks, but they were, you know, they were sort of scrubby types of trees. Couldn't have been hawthorn because otherwise we'd have got scratched. I just can't remember. I think from about, it must have been 2, 3, 4 pairs of houses down, there seemed to be a row of trees dividing the field into two halves. Mm. But they weren't complete because it was always used as one field. But that was the only trees there were. Those
which
few
were
and
crossed
the ones
down
at right angles to the
stream.
Yes, and at right angles to the boundary of the gardens, going across. Yeah, and that was all the trees there were. I remember sledging on the furthest bit, the bit that would have been behind the houses at the bottom end of Rowntree Dell, that bit that went down to the stream. We used to sledge down that little bit. So, you know, that was the bit where I could go without needing anyone with me. That was all right and safe. We did go in the wood. We went into the wood with my father quite a bit. But early days, I don't think I did. And then, of course, walked up and always from outside the bottom of the house into the fields and onto the track that went up Hall Lane. My father had an allotment for growing vegetables, so on behind the cottages at Lane Head. That was how they always called them.
Did you?
Yes, they lived. He was born in the end cottage, 320, the first one that you come to as you go up from Totley, and the land behind that had become an allotment. I know there were allotments.
There still are allotments.
Yeah,
just
I wondered,
before the last cottages on the right.
Yeah,
is that where they
right.
were?
Yes, that's where they were. There was this row of cottages. So theirs was the first. There was a gate, probably still there. Very steep access down.
That's right.
There were lots of allotments on the right, but just one behind the cottages that was the one my father.
Yeah, that's still
had.
There.
Yeah, because that was that was immediately behind where they had where they had lived. Yeah, and in fact, when my grandmother came to live here,
so your grandmother came to live in this
she
house.
She came to live in this house when I was
Maud
three.
Lane.
This was before we moved up to Totley. It was in 47. They moved here. Unfortunately, sadly, her husband, my grandfather, Isaiah Salt, nicknamed, Lord Mayor of Totley at one time, I believe, because he was part of the parish council and so on that was the running Totley. When they moved here, he was killed within about 3 months of them moving here. So
right.
My grandmother was here on her own. Yes, it was an accident at the...
At the brickworks?
Yeah, the brickworks.
Because he was manager there.
He was the manager, and I think he was showing someone... the story is obviously, I don't remember because I was only three at the time, But the story is that he was showing either someone or a group of people around the quarry, wasn't it, I think. And there was a small slide of, or a slight slide of stone, of grit or whatever. And a small piece just happened to hit the wrong spot on the back of his head and killed him outright.
Gosh.
So that was a bit sad.
Absolutely. And yeah. He was your granddad, Isaiah yeah. Salt. And yeah. Your aunt is Jo Rundle.
That's right, yes.
Who writes for the Totley Independent and yes. has a lot of memories, in her 90s yes. now. Yes. So was her father.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Yes. And she tells the tale about how they were saying, apparently it was an inevitable thing, but he was one of the signatories on the business of Totley becoming part of Sheffield. And you know that he was very sad about that. She said, she talks about him coming home and saying, oh, we've done it now. We've done it. We've signed it. So it must have been something that had been on the cards for a while. And
do you think he was reluctant?
It sounds a bit like it, as though, yes, I think they... I know the general impression I had from my father was that quite often in conversation, the phrase, well, of course, Totley was part of Derbyshire until fairly recently, you know, was always coming up.
Mm.
So I think they felt they had their roots in Derbyshire, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. And, which is probably why I was quite keen on this business of feeling... Part of Derbyshire.
Because literally, if you were living in Rowantry Dell, you go down to the stream, and Derbyshire boundary is the stream, isn't
it? Through Derbyshire.
So tell me about when you. How old were you when you got brave enough to actually go in the wood? Then,
well,
or was it?
It wasn't bravery. I think it was age, and you know, being with someone, and where are you? Where are you going? What are you going to be doing? And went through the wood as a family went up Hall Lane past the Annie Nutty Tree to the allotment, and with my father every Saturday morning at least to go to the allotment. Yes.
Tell me
about the Annie Nutty Tree.
I know I've asked you about this before, Chris, but tell me about the Annie Nutty Tree.
Well, it was a hollow tree.
And where was it?
It was on the bottom part of Totley Hall Lane, which is below, well, literally the bottom bit now, just after you've gone, you know, there's a gate now going into the fields, isn't
yes.
there, at the bottom. And it was in that first stretch before you got to the bend.
Before you got to the gate?
No.
After the gate?
Yeah, after the gate, because we would go through the fields, onto the track, onto Hall Lane. And it would be was in the first bit on the right. There was a whole row of trees on the right hand side. There's none there now, I don't
think. There is a very old oak tree on the right.
Yeah. It's not the Annie Nutty Tree.
Isn't it?
Because it was hollow, and they decided it wasn't safe, and down it came. I don't remember exactly when it went. It must have been relatively early days, but I do remember on one occasion walking up Hall Lane with Auntie Jo as well, for some reason, goodness knows why. And of course, she was very keen on this.
Tell
Annie
us about
Nutty
it.
Tree.
Tell us about Auntie Jo and the Annie Nutty Tree.
Yes, the idea was that whenever you came up to the Annie Nutty Tree, you didn't pass it without going up to it and putting your head in to the hollow bit and saying, Annie Nutty, are you there? And of course, it came back to you because it echoed. Which, you know, which I think is why there is the idea that there was something there, you know, to a child, the echo and the noise, hollow, sort of banging around inside the tree.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so, yes, so I used to have a go at that each time, but I don't know, there must be a record somewhere of when all those trees were chopped down, but I know that one went. And it was, it wasn't the more recent developments that involved the building and so on.
No. There are still quite a few old oaks in those field boundaries down
yes.
there.
Yeah.
And there is a very old one just a bit further down. It's on a very damp
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
But obviously not that bit.
No,
but that path from the wood along and up Hall Lane was the one that you would have taken
yes,
quite
definitely.
Regularly.
And there was no, it was just a rough track. Hall Lane was a rough track up to the hall. It was only tarmacked from the hall, as I recall, in those days. And this was before even that they put, whoever was farming where Pocock is now, had pigsties and, you know, over the wall. I've heard other people mention that, haven't they? Where they eventually put the college building.
Who farmed it when you were little? Do you remember?
I don't remember. No, I don't know. I don't recall. Any discussions about it or with the people that were there. Wasn't someone that were. My father stopped and talked to that I would have known, or if, you know. I remember a guy that my dad always liked to talk to on the allotments called Marshall. I don't know whether he's cropped up at all, because I think he was someone my dad had known from his youth. Mm. He was an older fellow at the time, and he had one of the allotments to the right of the entrance.
Mm. Yeah. So you were travelling often between your house and through the wood and up there to Lane Head, really, and the allotment and the house. Did you play in the wood itself? Do you remember?
I did. I'm sure we did. I can't remember much from early days, but I did pester to have a dog. Well, of course, the house was too small for a dog. My father, having been brought up in a country area, you know, being able to walk straight out of the back of a cottage into all that lot, you know, they'd had dogs that had Alsatians and things, but he thought that where we lived wasn't suitable for a dog. But ultimately, he was a teacher, and his head teacher happened to be breeding corgis. And perhaps, you know, a small corgi might just be okay.
Yes.
So I was allowed a dog. And we had this, and of course that was my dog. So I had to walk it. Well, I was at least 12, I think. I can't remember exactly. I think I was at least 12 when we had it. And so I was sort of old enough to go, and I did the dog walks each day before school, after school, and I think my mum used to take him out at lunchtime. But that meant going through the wood, and I used to do that a lot. It would be a fairly brief, it was always a lump round. I always used to go across the field behind our house, in at the path, the bottom, along, turn right where the path to Hall Lane comes. I'd go along that one, back towards Hall Lane, but then I'd cut across the fields into the back of the house again, one way or another, depending on you know, how the gates were, how the fences were, how the hedges were at the time, you know. So that would be the morning thing. But then in an evening after school, I'd got a little bit more time to explore and find things.
There was the old path, old Holloway, used to come along the back of Rowntree Dale.
Right.
I don't know if it did in your day. Either at the end of the gardens or just beyond the garden, Bob Warburton said that in their garden there was a bit where the soil was different, where the hollow had been filled in.
Yes, there was in ours. actually. It was, in fact, it was a hollow, actually. And then you went in, into the field. I can't remember whether you went up into the field. You certainly went down at the bottom of the garden. Mm. And that was the bit that people decided to take into their gardens. You know, whether it was officially or not, I don't know. I have a feeling that people, you know, had an extra bit because they decided they could have that bit as well, which was probably the...
Very ancient path. Oh,
really?
Very, very ancient.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd get across that to get out into the
that's right.
into the field.
Yeah.
So now at that time, this is the 50s we're talking about, isn't it? That you're a kid playing and walking through the wood.
Yes.
At that time is after, I think, that a lot of the trees in the wood were chopped down.
No, it was before.
Before.
Yeah. I got interested, well, I ended up taking biology as one of my A-levels. And because of doing that, I became a lot more interested in what was actually growing there. Not that I know much or can remember much, but I know at one point we were doing biology A-level at that time involved drawing lots and lots of twigs in winter and stuff like that, you know. And so I can remember finding a hornbeam and, you know, being very keen on that. But the trees were as they'd always been until, I think, the 60s, wasn't it, when they were cut?
Well, as far as I know, it was replanted in the 60s. And I thought that they on the Totley side of the stream, not the other side, but on the Totley side of the stream, the old trees had been cut down in the 40s or 50s or even perhaps sort of wartime or even maybe 40s, I think.
Maybe.
But I might be wrong about that.
I can't remember any work being done in the 50s. I remember coming back. I was trying to think about this the other day when you've been talking in the meetings about replanting in the 60s. And I seem to remember coming back probably from when I was away at university to find them having felled the trees.
Which would be
which
when?
Which would have been the 60s, the early 60s.
Right.
Yeah. And so it would have been the early 60s. I can't remember exactly, but there I was thinking I knew all about ecology and all the rest of it, which I didn't. I didn't know enough at all, but I remember being, oh, what's going to happen to all the bluebells? Oh, they'll all disappear, and, you know.
Right, and, so it did look very different, did it, when you came back?
Oh, it was totally, totally flattened. You know, there was nothing. There were the copse was still there. I mean, one of the things.
When you say the copse, where do you mean?
Well, go straight down on the path from Hall Lane, from the end of Hall Lane, direct to the one that carries on and goes up to Woodthorpe. But when you get into the wood, turn right, and then after a bit, turn right again, and there was rhododendron. There was an area of rhododendron. Bushes. I used to know where various things were because one of the things I did with my father from quite early days living up there was we used to go on a collecting greenery expedition at Christmas, and it involved not just, I mean, my dad would know where all sorts was in the wood because of having grown up and played in the wood himself as a kid, so you know, he used to go and get we'd get rhododendron, we'd get yew, we'd get holly, and, you know, and he knew where the various holly bushes were that would have berries on and stuff like that. And I think, this is definitely a sidetrack.
No,
but,
it's all right.
I remember on one occasion, we must have a little bit of pine. Oh, I know where the pine trees are. Right, we'll go up here. And it was, again, a field that... Joe Salt, well, Tom was using, but belonged or was part of the tenancy or whatever that Joe Salt was responsible for. And Joe Salt was a bit of a, my father's uncle was a bit of a character. And this was my only encounter with him. We'd gone out across the stream, out of the wood on the other side. It was one of the fields that, if you go up the track from Mickley to Woodthorpe, one of the fields on your right, and there were pines at the top, quite a plain sort of gradient down to the wood. And we were going up here. Well, this old car came along, it stopped, the door flung open, and it was one of these old black cars where they, you literally opened the door and it went backwards, you know. And out rolled this old geezer who was having difficulty standing up. And I've never heard such a, being very, you know, well brought up little girl, I had never heard such language in all my life. But it amounted to, what the blazes do you think you're doing in that field, basically, but a lot more colourful. And I was petrified. This language going on and this, and looking at my dad, and he was standing there looking a bit unmoved. And eventually, when he could get a word in edgeways, he said, "Now then, Uncle Joe, what's all this fuss about? It's only me, it's Joff." So, you know, and of course my dad didn't normally talk like that, but he was talking in, you know, suitable language for Uncle Joe. And what's that then? That's all right then. But yes, I gather he was quite a character, was Uncle Joe.
And he was the one who farmed at Woodthorpe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yes, yeah. And I think he was quite elderly at that time. Yeah. And Tom was driving him. And in fact, Tom Salt did all the farm for him. At the time, I think it was a regular trip down to the pub, I think, that had to.
Yeah.
So.
So Tom helped him at.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did help him. I don't know at what point he went to Ola Lee. I know there was a problem.
Oh, Ola
Lee.
A
family problem.
On Fanshawe Gate Lane.
Tom farmed Ola Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he farmed Ola Lee. He did when we came up here, because we used to take those sheep to be tucked and dipped and all the rest of it, didn't we? Up to Ola Lee. Because, we had a few sheep at one time, and my dad had the neighbouring bit, the next bit to us, and we had some sheep.
Your dad had what?
We had some sheep. Well, when we first came here,
To
the Leylands. It was a half acre strip. We were able to buy some of the field on the south side, half acre of the field on the south side, about in the early 80s. And at a similar time, my father managed to buy off Auntie Jo what was left of her nursery, which was the other side. So, because there was only me to leave his little bit of land to when we were living here, at that point we changed our driveway to just using that drive, so that, you know, we started using it as one. But my dad used that as a sort of allotment, really, area, but it was a bit big for that. It was about 3/4 plus of an acre there, and so we had sheep. Well, we have bought two originally ourselves, two broken mouthed ewes for the field bit that we got ourselves on the south side, and then you know, my dad decided it would be a good idea if we you know, moved them across backwards and forwards and used them as lawnmowers. And
so I'm trying to sort out this piece of land where we are now then, oh, because yes. your grandparents lived here. Well, your grandmother, because
my grandmother
your granddad
lived here,
died granddad not died. Long after.
Yes, that's right.
So your grandmother died here.
Lived here.
But yeah. your... Lived here, sorry. Yeah. But your dad presumably inherited...
No. The bit on the north side, yes. the bit of land that goes round the corner and includes the next house, actually, was just a bit of spare land when my grandmother came here. And I think she'd been here about 3 or 4 years when Auntie Jo, who was living in Gleadless, I think, at the time, and had done... one of the strings to her bow was the fact that she'd done some work at a market garden, is it Seagraves or somewhere that she'd worked. And so she had been learning all about, being a nurseryman. And she thought, well, there's a bit of land going spare there, you know. And so she investigated about buying it. So she bought up this bit next door, which was about, I think it was about two and a half acres or something. I don't know exactly what the whole thing was. But it included the house next door, because one of the first things she did was sell off the far three quarters of an acre to her elder brother, Elijah, for him to build a house, because he was living at the time. This is all post-war, you know, and problems over housing. And he was living in a flat in one of those Victorian houses above Cross Sides, you know, on the...
on Baslow Road.
Yeah, Baslow Road. And they'd... he was married and they'd got a small... two small children, actually. And so she... sold a quarter, three quarters of an acre to him, and he built that house next door. So it really is part of the nursery area. And after Auntie Jo had got a bit disheartened, I think, with running the nursery, gales blew down the greenhouses that she had had, and I think it was becoming a bit of a struggle, and she got a lot more interested in floristry, and so I think she gave up with the nursery side of it. And I don't know the dates, I've forgotten now, but sometime during the probably the beginning of the 70s, end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, she sold off bits of the land to my uncle next door, and then there was just three quarters plus of an acre left, which she was hanging on to. At one time she hoped that she'd be able to build, but the planners weren't having any of it, so that was the bit that was left. And ultimately she let my father buy it.
But it's interesting that she was a nursery woman, and now here you are with your love of plants.
That's
and opening
right.
your garden under the yellow
That's
book
right.
scheme.
She's very thrilled about that. We're very different over the sort of plant rearing we do, because I think things move on. I mean, she did a lot of... Well, she raised plants to try and make a living, so therefore she... grew a lot of bedding plants, and she grew things that she thought she could make some money out of, whereas I tend to grow things that take my fancy and do all sorts of different things, unusual things, you know. I try and so it's quite different, really. But she was certainly very pleased, and very pleased when we'd actually got rid of the huts that were there. They weren't her huts. One of the things that had happened in the meantime, when she'd moved off and was doing her floristry, and she ended up teaching at a college in Newcastle, teaching floristry. The Paul Meggett round the corner was renting that bit of land, and he put up sheds so that he could store all his machinery there for his landscaping business. And but they weren't particularly pretty. And ultimately we managed to get, because we had been using them ever since we'd lived here, which at that time was, oh, I don't know, we'd been here since 75, 6, we'd been using them since 76 for our bits and pieces. And up to, when was it we were trying to apply for planning permission? It was being the, yes, it was 30 years, I think. We'd been using these things for 30 years. So ultimately, they decided that we could have that as our domestic curtilage. And so we were able to knock them down.
But who did you get your love of plants and flowers from? Was it from her?
It must have been. Although, as a child, my father grew things. It wasn't just food, because that was a sort of knock on from the war, I suppose, but he always did grow, you know, vegetables and soft fruit and so on, right up to when he died, to feed themselves and us as well. But he was interested in other things, in other plants as well. And so it and I think it really was from him. He was very interested in plants. He was interested in birds, and all the, you know, the countryside and everything, but in that sort of thing. I really,
so what did you learn from him? What did you learn from him? I'm thinking about the wood again now.
Yeah,
the wood. Did you learn about things in the wood? Birds, plants? What do you remember of that?
Yeah, I don't remember much about... Not that much is stuck. Certainly, the one thing that sticks in my mind is the swimming pool, of course.
Oh, tell me about the swimming pool.
Which was... we've got off natural things again there, but... I remember one occasion, we were off the beaten track, and he was like, let me show you this. And we came across this strange shape in the midst of the wood, and he said, "What do you make of that?" And he said, "Do you realise that used to be a swimming pool?" And now, when you try and remember things that you were told as a child, you don't always remember them accurately. And I know that my dad was definitely involved in building this swimming pool, but whether it was with his brothers or his friends or whatever, but it was certainly a gang of lads from Totley that were involved in actually, at the time, making this swimming pool, damming up the river. And I gather it took a tremendous amount of time and effort and work to
when do you think that what would have been?
Well, I think he was he born in 17? I ought to know. I'm sure that will be the case. Yes, he would be born in 1917, I think. So it would have been in the 20s, wouldn't it? I would imagine.
He was very young then when
20s, well, they must have been big enough, strong enough to do
maybe,
that sort of
maybe
thing.
The
teenagers,
30s.
Yes. Mm. Maybe the 30s, yeah.
Did he go in it?
Oh, yes. They swam in it every, a lot in the summer, apparently. Yeah.
What was it like when you looked at it? Was the water
there was,
in it?
There was a bit, but it was, I think it had been breached either on purpose, people looking after the wood or not. But it certainly wasn't full enough to, but it was a good, it was well over a metre. It was a swimming depth, certainly. And I remember the bank. Seeing this bank and so on.
So back to the natural things in the wood. What do you remember about? Because It's well known for its bluebells and wooden enemies.
Yes, indeed.
What were they like then?
Oh, absolute carpet. Total carpet of bluebells everywhere. One thing I do remember, in addition though, and was violets. And I found, they weren't general in the wood, but I remember, I don't know, I must have done a lot of investigating up and down bank sides and things like that, but I remember finding a big patch of these violets and being absolutely thrilled, because they obviously weren't under your feet at the time as you walked along. Mm. And my grandmother that lived here thought that anything with a pansy face, like and a violet, she thought were wonderful. Mm. So I was very thrilled about those. Oh, and that was another thing, of course. We used to come and see my grandmother every weekend. So we would walk up through the wood and up the fields, up here. And I always picked whatever it was that was in flower at the time for my grandma. So we'd bring a bunch of bluebells or bluebells and wooden enemies.
So which path would that be?
The one would come... the one that comes across into the fields down from Storth House.
Yes.
That one. Which is sometimes hard to find on the as you
well,
turn.
Well, there are two, aren't there? There's one actually from Storth at Storth House Farm directly down into the wood.
Mm. More or less directly. It does a little dogleg over a
stile.
Over the stream and a stile and into
a boggy bit.
Yeah.
But there's also a longer boggy way round, isn't there, that comes almost to the end of the wood, the broad car end of the wood, where the near...
I'm not sure, actually.
No, you probably wouldn't have taken that one.
No.
You get into it from further along the other end of the lane to where you're living now.
From that end of the lane, further down,
towards the Slow Road.
Yeah, yes. No, we didn't go up that way at all.
Mm.
No, we always came straight up this one.
Mm.
And
but you'd always pick whatever was in flower.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Birds. What do you remember of birds at that time? Did you know about birds then?
I don't think I did know much, to be honest. I think I've learnt an awful lot more since living here, actually. And my father was very interested and very keen. I think I always had difficulty in actually following and seeing seeing what he was pointing out as a child.
And what's your impression of kids generally? Were there other kids out and about in the woods and playing in the woods at that time?
I don't recall any, to be honest. I had quite a lonesome existence, to be honest. I just, my dog for company, and I think that was kept my mum happy, that there I was wandering through the wood and I got my dog with me, so it was all right. Because I can remember on occasions, I think there were children lower down the living further down the dell. I can remember some discussion at one time that. Oh, you didn't talk to let Christine go in the wood, you know, this funny fella in, and, you know, that sort of thing.
And was there a funny fella?
Met a funny fella. There was a funny fella a bit more local than that, but unfortunately. But
nobody in the wood.
Nobody in the wood, no. Not that I ever met, anyway.
Yeah.
But, so it was perfectly safe as far as I was concerned, and I just wandered far and wide, and I'm sorry to not be able to remember specifically, particularly with my interest in plants now. The only things to be able to mention are these violets and this hornbeam tree.
Where was the hornbeam tree? Do you remember?
Yes, I do, because I have a feeling that went with the felling. It was from where I would go into the wood, at the bottom of those fields, walked along just before the
point where the path came down from Totley Hall Lane, there seemed to be a sort of a more open area. You seemed to go through a bit that seemed to be more, that might be where you say the trees had been felled in the 40s or whatever, because there was certainly quite an open area at the end of which was again more trees, and you sort of went through it was a wood again until the path joined from Totley Hall to Totley Hall Lane up to Woodthorpe. So it was in that little bit. It was just as you got just to before, the end of the clearing bit.
Yeah, and before you would turn to Totley Hall Farm.
That's right, yes, I remember it on the left.
Right.
So
you're now in the Friends of Gilfield Wood. And why is that?
I suppose the first stimulus for it was because Richard saw who walks the dog, our dog, down to Gilfield Wood just about every day, saw a notice. And he thought, oh, yes, I'm interested in this. Let's go. And, of course, I knew Richard when I was quite young, when I was in my teens, and he used to come up to our house and we used to walk up and walk through the wood then together, so he knew that I knew the wood at the time. In fact I remember
when it was the 60s are we talking
still at Rowntree Dell. In fact, my parents were still at Rowntree Dell when they died, so he'd come up to Rowntree Dell and we'd take the dog for a walk through the wood, and it was on one of those walks in the 60s when we suddenly discovered everything had been, you know, was being chopped down. So he should remember that too.
So it was a place where you sort of walked out together, I suppose. The courting days in the wood.
Yes, definitely. Yes, because whenever, anyone came to our house, a walk through the wood was always on the cards. Yes, you always did that. And of course, as I got older, in my older teens, instead of just walking up and round, we'd do the walk up to Woodthorpe and round and down and down the one from Fanshawe and Fanshawe Hall.
Way would you walk down from there? Would you come? You were talking about where the pines were earlier.
Yes.
Which is the road, the sort of bumpy road up to Woodthorpe.
Yes.
Is where you
yes,
mean
yes,
there.
Yes.
Which was made, I think, in the 30s roundabout. Yes, yes. And then there's the old Holloway, which is the other path, isn't there, up to Woodthorpe. Did you
right,
use
that? That was the one you've used. Yeah. Yes, the one that I understand was where they used to take the coffins from Door to Dronfield or something, isn't that right? Was it Dronfield they took them, or was it the other way around?
That would be up to Holmesfield that way.
That way, yes.
But
yes, it would, wouldn't it?
So I'm not sure, but it's a very old path.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
the one that I say is a continuation of the one that came behind Rowntree Dell. Actually,
yeah.
It's a very, very old path.
Yeah.
So you would come along there, which is quite spooky these days. Was it spooky then?
Don't recall it being. No.
Well, it's very dark in
there. Yeah. No, I think it's amazing how things grow up, isn't it? Yeah. One other thing I used to do through the wood more recently, because as I said, my parents were still living at 36 Rowntree Dell right up to, my mother dying in 95. From us living here, we started doing the reverse. They used to, when I lived down in Rowntree Dell, we used to come up here and see Grandma every week, every Sunday, I think we used to come up to see her. Then, once we were living up here, on a Friday, we would go down to Rowntree Dell through the wood. We always walked. To see my parents, we'd walk back again.
Yeah.
And so we've all this, and walking through the wood in the dark was something that we were quite clever at.
Well, tell me that then.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's very important to know sort of the lay of the land and the lie of the land and the trees and so on. You just get used to where they are, and and where you are according to the light. And of course, you can't always see terribly well. There's a lot of moon for part of the month, of course. But
you didn't use a torch?
No, I don't like torches in the dark in the countryside, because you can let your eyes get accustomed to you know, to the light that there is, and then you can see, which I always managed with until recently. I must admit that just latterly, since I don't pick my feet up quite as well as I used to, I found myself falling over stuff. I still take the dog for a walk in the dark when it's in the winter time, but I do have a head torch these days because I have a nasty habit of tripping over things. So, but I never did. We never did. I used to prefer not to have a torch.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That, well, you managed, again, to, I don't know it so well that you could manage that.
I think
that.
Maybe it was, again, it might just have been something I picked up from my father, from, because
you never felt frightened.
No, well, you don't when you've got your dad with you, do you? You sort of.
No, but if you were in the...
Oh, when I went down, well, quite often, right. Yes. And or it would be with the children, with our youngsters as teenagers, and with always with the dog. But, there would be rustlings. It's, you know, and you knew there were animals about.
Did you see any?
Would be what, no.
Because there were
really
badgers, aren't there?
Yeah. Well, you could certainly hear them. We did see badgers, but more often when we were coming back across the fields, actually, you'd see badgers darting across and, and dogs chasing them, and then them standing their ground and turning on them, and the dog coming back with his tail between his legs.
Oh, Chris, that's great. Is there anything else before we end that you can think of? Any particular stories that happened? Mm. You know, things that happened in the wood, or anything you heard of happening in the wood or round about?
I don't think there is. It's very boring, isn't it?
No, it's not boring. Yes. It's lovely. Yes. It's lovely, your memories.
Just that it was such a, you know, such a nice place to be. You didn't need anything else other than, you know, just going.
And great that you've come back to it now, really.
Oh, yes.
How does that feel that you're now getting involved again?
It does feel quite nice, although I do feel very ignorant, to be honest, because obviously things have moved on a lot from when I knew the wood well. When I first had a dog here, I used to do a lot of walking down to the wood and back. It was when I was part-time. But more latterly, things have moved on more, and various little health niggles have meant that I tend now to do an evening walk. And I'm tired at the end of the day, and I don't go down there very often. Mm. And so I do, when I do see it, I tend to think, yes, well, this is how it is. And it tends to look rather different now. But
well, perhaps you'll get familiar with it again through the group.
Well, I hope
so,
yes. Yes, I mean, one thing that I never knew existed from my use of the wood was that path that seems to go parallel to the... just on the Derbyshire side, in the bottom of the fields there, from the path coming down from Fanshawe Gate to the wood, there seems to be a path that runs parallel with the at the bottom of the field, and there are stiles and so on. I remember investigating that one once and thinking,
I looked at that today. There is a little stile, so you can get on that side of the wood along from there to the one that comes down what we call Shep's Bank from Woodthorpe, that field there into the wood.
Yes.
It does link up somehow.
Yes.
It's not much used.
No, it's
Well, thank you, Chris. That's been brilliant. I'll switch that off.
I don't know.